Hey guys, welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is season 6, episode 12 of Sticky Pickles. First love and grow up, Chuck. Okay, first.
Yep.
Let's address the pickle in the room. Many of our faithful listeners have noticed that our schedule has not been weekly. And y'all have been pinging me on social media about it. Yes, it's true. We know. We've been doing every other week episodes. That's for a reason. And the reason is...
Well, we're busy, but you may remember that last year we took loads of months off at a time, right? Mm-hmm. We had little short seasons. So this way, you may not get us every week, but you get us consistently-ish.
Yeah, you're getting more of us because we've been busy. Kroll, you're being super busy with your awesome art show coming up.
Yeah, go check out my art, listeners. Carol.wtf.
Best website URL in the universe, just for the record. Yes, she's super busy. I've been starting a new show y'all might have heard about called T-Minus Space Daily. Yeah. So yeah, we're every other week right now, but you still get us in your ear holes. And that's what matters, right?
Exactly. Now, can we get this show on the road?
Let's get the show on the road. Okay, Kroll, what is your sticky pickle first love question mark?
Yes, first love. Okay, so we are in a small coastal town. And in this town, there is a shop, there is a post office, a church, and a library. A small library, but an active one.
Okay. Is this a picturesque seaside town or a dumpy seaside town?
Very.
Okay.
Tourists just don't know about it because it's so small.
Oh, we're going to discover it.
So it's beautiful and, yeah, yet to be discovered. And this is where book lover Larry met book lover Zola, at the very small library in this small coastal town. And 17-year-old Larry has fallen in love for the first time, okay?
Aww.
Zola, okay, moved into the small town recently from the big city. And before that, lived all over Europe and la-di-da. And she's a little older than Larry. She's 19 to his 17.
Oh, so she's very sophisticated. She's very sophisticated.
Yes, worldly.
Worldly. She's like, I've already done it more than once.
Hey, have you read my sticky?
No.
And she moved in with her uncle who lives in town, you know, for a year to save money and reads books, went to the library, met Larry. Fate. Now, Maeve is Larry's mom. Okay. And she works at this very same library as the librarian, okay, has done forever. Larry's a born and bred, small coastal town guy.
Okay.
And of course she sees everything, right? Because they're always hanging out in there. She sees them canoodling while they read she's reading a novel. He's studying for his exams that are coming up. And, you know, she hears them stifle giggles, normal teen, you know, love stuff. And Maeve, you know, is thrilled mostly because the girl has brought her lovely son out of his shell.
Aww.
No longer does he walk like all slovenly, muttering one-word answers. He chatters away at dinner about Zola and what books she recently lent him.
Oh, young love.
He even showers daily now and cleans his room.
That's how you know. The personal hygiene. He starts to take an interest in not smelling rank. Oh, teenage boys never change.
Put mouthwash on the list, you know?
Yeah. And by bathing, he's actually using water and not just dousing himself in shitty cologne, right?
Yes. What's that stuff called? Lynx.
Axe.
Yes.
Maybe I'm dating myself. Maybe it's called something else now, but it was called Axe for a time.
It may be the same stuff, but differently named in our countries. So Lynx is the UK one, certainly.
It sounds, I bet it's the same damn thing.
It stinks. Guys, don't think that covers shit. It stinks. Do not wear that.
BO plus that equals still gross.
It's just so gross. You know, like in a hospital, they try and clean it, but you still smell the urine. You know, you still smell the vomit.
Somebody just went and had a nasty poo, and then there's like vanilla scented air freshener. You're like, now it's a vanilla poo. It's just. I hate that this audio is going to be on the internet sometimes.
Like, oh, come on. How wonderful to think of your daughter hearing this in 30 years and going, oh, my mom was hilarious.
Mom's talking about vanilla poo. Love you, sweetie. Anyway, she already knows. Yeah, so he's bathing. This is a huge seismic change. He's bathing. Is he brushing his hair?
Yes, in his teeth. Okay, and deodorant wow. And everything. And, you know, and also this is fucking fantastic because his exams, right, are coming up and he is studying because Zola is really smart and got really high grades and did super well when she did her stuff and da-da-da-da-da, right? So he's, you know, kind of maybe, you know, wants to impress her. But, Maria, there is a tiny problem.
Little
because
bit.
It comes down to Zola's worldliness. This girl, you know, has lived in Paris and Berlin and has skydived and even fucking swum with goddamn dolphins. Okay, she's seen Big Ben and Jim Morrison's grave and the Mona Lisa all in the flesh or with her own eyes. Like, even Maeve is jealous, right?
Yeah.
Even Maeve is jealous.
Is she totally up her own asshole?
Yeah, well, here's the thing that kind of gets under, you know, Maeve's skin is that she's constantly shocked at Larry's lack of experiences. Like, you've never been on a plane? You've never eaten a samosa? You know, you've never seen a kangaroo?
What an amazing array. Okay, the plane. Okay, samosa, kangaroo. These are her bars that you must cross. Okay. Kangaroo. You've never ridden on a giraffe, you heathen. You've never spanked a zebra. How have you lived? Okay, he hasn't gazed upon a kangaroo. Okay.
And of course, Larry's read about all this stuff. It's not like he's lived under a rock, but he hasn't experienced
them. He's like, I know what a kangaroo is. I know that their babies are called Joeys. Okay. Right?
Yes, exactly. And he reddens something fierce when Zola chides him with whatever. Right? Like, you've never had a cronut, right? And Maeve.
Where did you get this picture of me? I do not like this at all.
And Maeve has to watch her inner crocodile because she sometimes overhears some of this stuff and she just wants to snap at this girl. So, but then she has to remember that A1, Larry's in love, right? 2, Larry has exams. 3, Larry is almost grown and is happy.
Okay, yep.
Right, so this is all about her, Maeve's issues, and she sees that. Okay, you with me? You're happy? You're enjoying this?
I'm with you. I am with you. I am with you. I'm listening.
Because we're getting to the sticky now.
Okay.
So Maeve is at the library, because she's always in the library, and one day, an old friend pops in, right? Driving through the village, stops by to the library because she knows Maeve's at the library to just say hi, and they catch up. And of course, it gets to talking about Larry and mentions, you know, Maeve mentions he's gaga with this new girl and shows a few snaps of the teen couple. And Maeve's friend is like, wow, Larry's dating Janine O'Malley.
Janine.
She used to play soccer with my girls. But she soon left, and she goes, it was a bit of a scandal, really. Janine told everyone she'd lived in this country or that country and done this and that, and they were all fibs.
She's a big phony.
She basically lived her whole childhood anyway, and as far as I know, in the same small bungalow, like totally respectable, but not like all la-di-da. And the girls were so upset because they totally believed her, and they put her on a pedestal, And then she stopped. She goes, oh, but that was obviously all ancient history. This is like a decade ago. Yeah, I'm glad she sorted herself out.
Yeah. Awkward kid became a normal 19-year-old.
Maeve is shocked. Nod says nothing. Later does some digging, as only an amazing librarian can. So I can't go into her techniques.
Amen.
But it doesn't look good for Zola. So in short,
Okay.
Zola is not Zola, but Janine O'Malley.
Bum, bum, bum.
Two, she has a little list, right? Janine has a history of telling tales. Three, Janine is probably still telling the same tales with the little teen inflection thing going on. They've gotten bigger, fatter, I don't know, sexier, whatever.
Sexy teenagers.
Four, Janine has got Larry wrapped around her finger. Maeve totally sees this. And
yeah.
Five, Larry has his exams coming up and he is completely in love.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to fuck him up before exams.
This is Maeve's dilemma. She also doesn't want to lie to him, right? She has now information that she feels is solid.
Right.
Should she share it with her son? Because they're on their own, these two, right? There's no papa in town. There's no one she can speak with.
Nah.
Okay.
No.
No. Say nothing?
Nah. 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 Well, I mean, honestly, Zola might have already come clean to her boy toy, and been like, I used to be known as blank, but now I'm Zola. Zola. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Who cares if you change your name? Yeah. I know loads of people who do that, especially in teenagers.
Yeah. They're always reinventing themselves. Like, what else is new? So, nah, I don't think this is worth. I mean. Okay, so my view is that she shouldn't bother saying anything, but let's go with the opposite tack that she does. What is she actually hoping the outcome will be like? Aha, j'accuse! Like,
if I were the kid and I found out that my boyfriend, girlfriend had a big freaking question mark over who they said they were.
The mysteriously sexy type.
My mom knew about it. Mm-hmm. I find out my mom knew about it for months. And didn't tell me.
I don't know.
I agree with the exams. Like, I would say after exams, right?
Yeah, don't rock the boat before exams. That's like...
Yeah, because that's a big deal.
It is. Yeah, so maybe Zola's past is not Maeve's to share. Because, I mean, let's think about it. At 25, this is... At 22? At 20?
17. 17 and 19.
So at 17, he's making 17-year-old mistakes, right? He's gonna learn from that. And then at 20, he'll be like, I can't believe I was a dumb 17-year-old who made that kind of stupid mistake. Who was...
Okay, so if this was your kid.
Yeah. I think it is worth letting people make their own mistakes sometimes.
Even if you know.
He's not in danger, right? She's just an insufferable 19-year-old, right? Well.
Interesting. Yeah.
To me, in 10 years, I might have a totally different opinion on this.
Yeah, totally. That's true, right? Yeah.
Because one could argue Maeve shouldn't have been digging to begin with. Like, one could say, like...
Well, she didn't dig. Someone just showed up.
Right, but then she went a little sleuthing. She could have left it alone.
Well, she wanted to know if it was true.
But she didn't have to do that.
Oh, wait, just put it under the carpet. Just sweep it under the carpet. Don't even look
at
it.
Yeah, be like, not my business. I don't know. I can't imagine somebody wouldn't be curious, but... Okay.
If it was your kid, I think you'd look. Especially if you didn't like that little, you know, I'm better than you.
But I could argue this. Mm-hmm. Knowing her true past doesn't make a difference in not liking how she's treating your kid. So it's almost irrelevant that she's being a little bit mysterious about her past, right? That she came back and reinvented herself. She's just being an asshole. She's being a snobby asshole, right? So, you know, again, teenagers, people do it. You know, it's not the worst thing. It's not like she murdered people and she's pretending she didn't or something.
Okay, so what if, okay, you let the exam slide. You say nothing. You wait for the exams to happen, right? 3 weeks pass, all the same. You hear all the stuff, drives you nuts even more now because you know, okay, if you're Maeve. And then after the exams, they're still going strong. And they're over for dinner and stuff. And then she goes, oh, yes, when I saw the Arc de Triomphe, would you start kind of digging, going, you know, what was your favorite bit?
Like, would you, if I was feeling a little cheeky.
Did you love that it was green? Did you love that it was green?
And the fact that it's edible. Isn't that just wild? Did you know that it's made of croissant? It's just those French, I swear. It's even got a chocolate center. I didn't believe it, but I just kept biting. And I got to the brown stuff and I was like, this has to be that delicious French chocolate I've heard so much about. Yeah, I mean, I might feel, if I was just really annoyed by a girlfriend, I might be like, I'm going to troll. But, you know, It might also really annoy my son if I did something like that, in which case I don't want to make him mad. Because, you know, he's a year from leaving my house and I'd like to have a good relationship and let him make his own mistakes. But yeah.
Yeah, but you also don't want to face the, you fucking knew, Mom? You knew she was full of shit and you didn't tell me,
Mom? You could drop hints and be like, maybe I don't think that detail she said about the Arc de Triomphe being green was right. I don't know about you. That doesn't smell right, but.
Maybe we should Google that. Yeah, we have the internet.
Yeah, maybe you should look into that. I'm not saying anything. Or I'll do the full New England. I'm not saying nothing, but it doesn't smell right.
Okay, there you go. That's perfect. I think go with that. Good luck, Maeve. We love you. Adieu.
Adieu. Don't eat the Arc de Triomphe. In case you didn't know, it is not made of croissant.
Shall we move to your stickle?
My stickle. Yeah, let's get to the stickle. Grow up, Chuck. Grow up, Chuck. So I think it's interesting that yet again, without planning it, you and I have planned our stories around people who are around the same age in life. I do not know how we do this. So you had two teenagers and mine are like in early undergraduate college years. So maybe like 19, maybe 20 years old. But importantly for my American listeners, they are under the age of 21. Which we know means that they are not legally able to drink yet. Not that that has ever stopped anyone in this country of ours.
Or touch jazz cigarettes.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Not a single spliff will touch thy lips. No. So we have Frank. He is an undergraduate engineering student and he's learning mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And I'm saying this with trepidation in my voice because this is... my listeners, my faithful friends and listeners may know that I was once an engineering student, so I'm digging deep for this one. So Frank is a mechanical engineering undergraduate student, and anyone who's been through engineering undergraduate or graduate school knows you have no life. You are doing problem sets all the time. You are studying constantly. And if you're lucky, you are maybe not failing half of your classes.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard, but a lot of your classes, you are lucky if you get a gentleman's C in your courses, and certainly heaven knows I got plenty of those. But Frank is doing okay. He keeps his nose in his book. He studies a lot. He avoids the partying. He frankly doesn't have time. His problem sets take so much time. His labs take so much time. He actually goes to his seminar classes. Bless him. He's like one of the five people there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he sees all those humanities students. They're often out partying. Are they ever in class? Physics for poets students. Are you kidding me with this shit? They actually get a class that makes it easier for them to learn the crap that I have to suffer through. For real. Anyway, so there's some resentment there. So Frank has a roommate. And as colleges often do, they try to make sure, well, some colleges do. They try to make sure that people who are roommates are in similar schools or similar academic tracks. They don't all do this, but some do. So Frank's roommate, Chuck, is a fellow engineering student, and he's taking systems engineering, which I'm just saying it for anybody who knows the difference. They're not the same thing, but, you know, engineering school. And Chuck is very envious of his humanities friends. And let's just put it this way. Most of his friends are poetry majors. A few of them are politics majors. A whole bunch of them are English lit majors. And what this means is... many a jazz cigarette is imbibed. Parties are happening a lot. And Chuck is like the lone engineering guy at these parties, like, woo! And then all the beer and doing a keg stand and all the stuff that you see in the movies that you think is just a stereotype. But no, some people do those things for real. And while Chuck is partying his brains out and getting super crunk, Frank is sweating out it over his problem sets at his desk in his dorm room until like 1 or 2 in the morning. And as he's closing up his book, being like, I'm done studying for the night because I've got an 8 a.m. organic chemistry class. Chuck is just stumbling in from one of his latest parties at a frat house or some sort of pub that he snuck into.
I was a Chuck.
I was a Frank.
I was a smart Chuck. I was a smart Chuck, but I was a Chuck.
Yeah, and I was a Frank. This is why we're friends.
You partied. No.
No. No, I did not.
My heart breaks for you a little bit there.
No, it's okay. I had my fun in other ways. Okay. Later. Yeah. I'll just be oblique about that.
I want to say But I'm not kidding.
Listen, don't make the Greek jokes. It's too easy, okay? So, yeah, Chuck's having a grand old time. But, of course, because he's partying a lot. Like, he's not just partying, I would say, a normal amount. He's partying to excess. And yep. What's happening is his problem sets are going unsolved. His labs are getting unresolved. He certainly is not showing up to class. He's also not learning a goddamn thing.
Because he's not in humanities and he can't pull it off. He's an engineer student.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you can't cram through labs. You have to show up and do stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing with some other really practical things. There's stuff where you have to literally be there and put in the time. You can't just make it up later. And when you're around people who maybe don't have those same academic pressures, they don't quite understand that. So Frank and Chuck are roommates for their entire, let's say this is their freshman year. Semester one of their freshman year, Chuck just parties up. He's having a great time. At the end of semester one, his first semester, he gets a lovely letter from his dean. And that letter says, "Dear Chuck, you are officially on academic probation for poor performance in your grades. If you don't turn it around at the end of this semester, we are expelling you from school."
Nice. Fun.
Yeah. So do you know how common it is for engineers to get put on academic probation?
No.
Alarmingly common. Do you know how many times I was put on academic probation?
No. I feel like I'm no other way. I have no other answer. No.
I was put on it twice, except in my case, it was a quarter. It was for quarters and not for semesters. But yeah, it sucks. And what really sucked for me is I actually was studying really hard. So I was like, I'm actually really trying and not partying, and I'm still getting put on academic probation. Really blows. So anyway, that's just me venting. So Chuck has a semester with two whole quarters to turn his academic probation situation around. It puts the fear of God into him a little bit at the beginning of quarter three. Yeah, he's like, okay, maybe I'll go to my classes. They're getting a little harder now. I can't just wing it. And Frank is still like, yeah, man, you actually need to like show up and do your labs and turn in your problem sets on time, and your TAs aren't going to take pity on you, whatever. And Chuck's like, yeah, I'll turn it around. You might predict what is probably going to happen with Chuck. It lasts for like a month where he takes school seriously. Because, you know, Q3 in North America is like the dead of winter. So it's easy to be like, yeah, I'm going to just hang out in the library and study. But once late March, early April.
Spring sunshine.
Fucking gorgeous outside.
Let's get our t-shirts on.
Let's hang out with the girls flowers. In the little tiny tops and wearing little skirts.
Yeah.
And let's go to the bar and make eyes at each other and smoke the cigarettes and just live it up and feel young and feel great and fuck those problem sets. I don't even care anymore.
Buy me another beer.
Yeah. Pour me another beer. And that's just what's going on with Chuck. And Frank is like, dude, this guy is not going to make it. He's going to get expelled by the end of his freshman year like a deuce. Anyway.
Like a deuce.
Yeah. And one night it's mid-May. Oh, just like right now, actually. Mm. And sometimes the universities will have like special events where they're like, we're partying because we know it's getting close to the end of the year and you guys are all feeling super stressed out. And at my first university I went to, we had Primal Scream. You know what that is?
Wow. Yes, of course I know. I've seen them live like twice.
Okay, yes. Not every school does this, but we did
sorry,
Primal Scream.
I meant the Brame. I meant the band. No, so I have not done.
Okay. Yeah, not the band, although it is a great band name, obviously. The Primal Scream is, there's a designated time at like 9 p.m. or something on a certain day, everybody knows. You stick your head out the window and scream your brains out. And it's usually just like an but often it'll be like, I fucking hate organic chemistry. Fuck the professor, whatever. Like, just let it out. And often there'll be, at my school, they had like jazz bands or like marching bands usually playing along like raucous noises during Primal Scream time just to encourage everyone to be loud. It was funny. Part of Primal Scream at Chuck and Frank's university, they're also having a little ice cream social.
Why not?
Just give kids like a treat to eat. You know, college kids are always fucking hungry, right? Frank and Chuck go because they're, you know, roommates, they hang out. They go to the ice cream social afterwards, and Chuck gets a humongous bowl with a tiny bit of ice cream in it. And Frank's like, okay, that's weird. Chuck's like, yeah, just trust me, bro. And he doesn't eat the ice cream. He brings it back to their dorm room. And he puts the bowl on his desk, Chuck's underused, understudied desk. From underneath his bed, Chuck starts pulling out bottles a bottle of Bailey's, a bottle of Kahlua. And these are all full-size bottles, mind you. A bottle of what we call a creme de menthe.
Oh, my.
Yeah, all of the creamy alcoholic stuff. And he starts just pouring them all over this ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And Chuck's like, listen, man, if you haven't had this, this is the fucking best. You just put all the shit over ice cream and it melts and it makes like this gooey sticky. Oh my God, it's so fucking amazing. And this is probably like a bottle and a half worth of booze in this giant bowl. It's just like liquid sloshy. Ugh. He offers some to Frank. Chuck is like, you want some of this? And Frank is like, I would rather eat actual vomit. Yeah, like that looks like diarrhea in a bowl. And it, frankly, yeah. But Chuck's like, listen, man, you don't know what you're missing. And he just starts like slurping it out of this huge bowl. He's just downing all this booze. And Chuck, unsurprisingly, within an hour, is violently ill.
Oh, Kelsapris.
Right. Now, I don't mean like, you know.
I'm in my 40s, man. I could have predicted this. I'm an oracle when it comes to this stuff now.
Yeah, I know. Like just me describing this, I'm just like, I feel ill by proxy just thinking about this. And like, but I'm not 19 anymore. I remember I had a stronger stomach back then. And this is not one of those situations where Frank is like, okay, Chuck, let me walk you to the bathroom, take care of you. Like, Frank's actually worried about Chuck. Like, I think he needs to go to the hospital kind of situation. So here is the problem that is, this is Frank's sticky pickle, because he knows that Chuck is on academic probation. And one of the many conditions when you are on academic probation is not only can you not miss exams, you have to show up for your exams. You can't be like, oh, I slept in, I missed it. You definitely cannot get in trouble in any form. So like underage drinking, a big no-no. If you end up having to go to your residential advisor being like, hey, my roommate needs to go to the hospital or whatever, you will get found out and you will definitely get kicked out immediately. Now, Frank is like, listen, not Chuck's best friend, but at the same time, he doesn't want to be the guy who is responsible for Chuck fucking dying of alcohol poisoning. But he knows that if he sends Chuck to the hospital or tries to get help, Chuck will probably get kicked out of school for real. So what does Frank do?
Okay. My immediate response is call the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Call Chuck's parents and say, look, he is not doing well. Like, listen yeah. to him puking right now in our fucking dorm room. This is not
yeah,
a good
and
thing.
And he's like in and out of consciousness bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he just thought it would be a good idea to mix blah, blah, and blah together. So, and if I report him to the school, he may lose, you know, because he's on academic. You know, I'd blow him up to his parents. I would blow him up to his parents, which could be okay.
So make the situation even worse by bringing his parents into it.
well, no, because I'm not telling anyone else. I'm telling the parent. Then it becomes the parents' problem as to whether they tell the school and do everything that's appropriate. I mean, he is right. Their kid, right? I'm his fucking roommate. I'm a kid myself. Like, I don't need to deal with all. So this is the 40-ish year old me saying what I would do as a kid.
Yeah, no, but to be fair, as the roommate, you're like, I don't want to deal with any of this. Like,
no.
This is not my, why is this my problem now? But, you know,
exactly.
I don't want him fucking dying. So, you know, yeah.
But I also don't want to get him kicked out of school either. And
death
the parents,
or kicked out of school? Death or kicked out of school?
No, but if you call the parents, then you're avoiding both of those. Potentially. The parents might go tell the school. Or you don't call the fucking school at all. You call fucking 999.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? The school has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky because in some cases, universities, they want you to go through their emergency services first to knock.
Of course they fucking do, but fuck that. Yeah. Kids, don't use normal services. Yeah.
Just call an ambulance. Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be my advice as well. Don't go through the school. You know, he's going to have some explaining to do because there's going to a bill's going to come due to his parents.
Yeah, that's why I call the parents. Although he may hate you for life, but you don't love this guy. Like, Chuck's not your like best BFF. And honestly, when he's older, he'll, you know, go, I understand, you know, that he did the right thing, calling my,
yeah,
my folks to say,
you need
holy
to be
shit.
Alive, first and foremost. Like, you can't die. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Being alive is the best. It's the best.
And telling a guy, being like, hey, I know you're vomiting black bile at the moment, but I'm sure if I just get you some blue Gatorade, that stuff fixes everything. That is what a 19-year-old
blue Gatorade,
the blue stuff, No, but you can't drink the red stuff. It's got to be the blue stuff, because the blue stuff, and we don't know what the flavor is. We just call it blue Gatorade.
Well, you heard it here, guys. Blue Gatorade. That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
Plus, we have launched a Patreon, as some of you know. And thank you to those of you who are supporting our show. Patreon.com/Sticky Pickles will get you all of our love and devotion. And you will be supporting this show and paying girls' bills specifically for hosting the show. It's just $3. It's like a tip jar. We love you. It helps us out. So thank you very much.
Yay.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter. God help us. And at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And hashtag Sticky Pickles
on the Fediverse.
And anything else you can find on stickyplays.com.
Brilliant. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Blue Gatorade. I'll teach you all about it sometime. Or I won't. Whatever. It's okay.